Just as last week had these quite disparate readings, the readings today are startlingly unified in their intent. And we can start with just this passage from the Gospel. Remember, the Gospel of Matthew was written to show that Jesus was the absolute epitome of all things Jewish. And it's clear from this passage what's going on. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's a continuous Matthean theme, you know. And yet, Jesus responds to the desire of this pagan woman. In other words, doing what the Jews were supposed to do all the time through their history, opening the mercy of God to everybody. And that's why you have this passage from Isaiah ending with, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples." And Paul, in those famous three chapters of the letter to the Romans, 9, 10, 11, talking again about, if you remember last week, his agony that his fellow Jews, many of them, did not receive Jesus as Messiah. And he making that startling claim, "I'd just as soon be cut off from Christ in whom I live for the sake of my brethren." So the message of all three readings is precisely this fulfillment of Judaism. Judaism is unique among the religions of the ancient world, in that it was a religion for everybody. All of the gods, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, all the gods of the ancient world were national gods, tribal gods, if you will. They're our God. And we can separate ourselves from everybody else because we got our God here and nobody else has our God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus, was the God of everybody. This is very hard, I think, for us to get our heads around. I mean, all you have to do is look at the world today, where we are, if anything, more retribalized than we have been in a long time, it seems to me. We're looking out for our own benefits, whether in the stock market or militarily, Syria, Libya. Looking out for ourselves. It is very hard to imagine that everybody on the face of the earth is as important to God as I am, or my tribe is. Everybody. There are no exclusions. James Joyce, of course, who was no great fan of the Roman Church, although he grew up in Ireland, had exactly right when he said the church is described as, "Here comes everybody. Here comes everybody." We continuously make discriminations, which is to say, make exclusions. That's why the constant urging of the present Pope stupefies me when he calls endlessly for a smaller, purer church. What does that mean? But precisely the exclusion of all kinds of people on all kinds of grounds, whether gender, race, sexual orientation, whatever. And this is what he really seems to want, and this is what he clearly, as I will point out after Mass in the announcements, this is clearly what he's working toward. But that's wrong. It is simply wrong. It is very clear in Jesus' response, this magnificent, clear-sighted man who was sent as a Jew to his fellow Jews, yet who saw beyond that. to this woman who recognized in him what life was supposed to be all about, namely this precise openness to everybody, that he could respond to her. You know, we say this over and over again, and yet over and over again we make these terrible distinctions between people. Superior, inferior, good, bad. Of course, we in the West do it largely on economic grounds, I think. The rich and the poor. And as everybody knows, the gap between the two is growing bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. All over the world, all over this planet at this moment. Again, I have to ask myself, what am I doing for Somalia and Kenya? What am I doing? How am I responding to all those starving babies? They're my sisters and brothers, period, full stop. And until I see that, until I have appropriated that in the deepest part of my life, all this Christian talk is just so much blather. Just filling the air with rubbish, nonsense. God is not asking for a smaller, purer church. He's asking for the church to be the one place in the world where everyone is welcome. Everyone. Despite whatever differences of gender, of color, of ethnicity, of sexual orientation. The most recent example, of course, is that ridiculous statement or set of statements from the Cardinal Archbishop of New York, Timothy Dolan, about gay marriages. Ignorance of an almost unimaginable depth. Wanting to exclude people. God excludes nobody. And that is above all what we are supposed to be seeing in the figure of Jesus. This pagan woman comes, Jesus responds to her. So, this is hardly news, but it's something I think we continuously need to be reminded of. Because we are so quick to re-tribalize our own points of view. Our own understanding of the world. Who is in, who is out, who is good, who is bad, who is worthy, who is unworthy. We're all unworthy, equally unworthy. And that's the glory of this man, Jesus. And that's exactly why the early Jesus movement came to see after a few centuries that this was God incarnate. This man and his behavior toward everybody. Women, lepers, the deformed, the sinners. I think we have yet to take seriously that extraordinary line from the Gospel of Matthew that the prostitutes and the mafiosi, the tax collectors, are going to make it into the kingdom before whom? Before the pious ones, before the Pharisees. The word Pharisee probably derived from a Hebrew word meaning the separate ones. The separate ones. There are no separate ones if we see the world with the same eyes that Jesus saw it. There are no exclusions. A smaller, purer church is not the church of Jesus Christ. Are not the church that I want to be part of in any case.